Chapter 17. Luke 17. That's the first time we've really sung that. Can you tell? That's all right. I'm sure that no one from Nashville will be calling us, but that's all right. We'll get it. We'll make it better. The fellows will beat me into submission. So, Luke chapter 17 this morning. I will tell you that I didn't print out any notes. It's a message you've heard before, but it's in a different passage. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to deal with service this morning. What do you do when you're crying? What do you do when you're having the struggles? What do you do when you just don't know what else to do? Right? In Luke 17, our Lord brings a section that I'm going to be honest with you. I've had struggles the last few weeks in studying. Lord, what do you want here? What are you trying to get across here? When you read it, you'll understand it better. There in Luke 17 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat?" Now that sounds pretty odd, doesn't it? In that world of service, the servant was just to keep working and keep working and keep working and keep working. But here, the Lord says, throws out a different idea. They've been working and feeding the cattle. They've been doing all their jobs that they need to do. Which one of y'all are going to say, "Hey, servants, when you come in, come on eat, come on in and get ready to eat"? That was an oddity in that world. Most of the time, the servants were not even allowed at the dinner table till later on, and they got the scraps. And that's the horridness of slavery. And by the way, no matter what you hear in this world, slavery is wicked. But slavery was in the Bible, so God gave places for it. He told the servants to obey their masters. And for the masters to be masters with compassion, not putting more on them than they can handle. I know you probably didn't understand this, but a lot of the masters were corrupt. That was one of the problems we had in our country. Beloved, the question is, when is one of you all going to have them come in and eat dinner? And if you look there at verse number 8, says this, the Lord says this, "And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I must sup, and gird thyself and serve me." So see, that's usually what they say. After a hard day's work, they're still telling the servant to go ahead and serve some more. He says, "And serve till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink." That's really what the world says. Remember, we're in the world system in the first part of chapter 16, and 16 up until verse number 10 is all one time that the Lord's teaching. So he throws out this A or this B. How many of y'all are going to tell your servants when they come in, "Come on in and eat"? Or rather, how many of you are going to say, "Come in and serve me, and then when I'm done eating, then y'all can eat"? That's really what's going on here. And that's the world system. Have you ever noticed that today our life is 24/7? Never used to be like that. I remember in the 70s when everybody threw up a big argument and upset because Kmart was going to be open from noon to 4 or 5 p.m. And some of the other stores started staying open. And I remember when nothing was open on Sundays. Everybody remember that? Yeah. Then even the restaurants started being open. They found out, "Oh, wait a minute. We can serve the church crowd. All they want's fried chicken and mashed taters. And maybe a cheesecake or some chocolate pudding." I will absolutely ignore that wickedness in the church house. Sister said something about weeds pie. Beloved, that's the world system. What we're seeing today, we have to grab hold of the fact only God Almighty is for you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is for you. No one else went to the cross. No one else fought those moronic foolish Pharisees and Sadducees that were supposed to have had the truth. But they didn't have the truth. And even when they did, they rejected it. Well, that doesn't fit our narrative. It doesn't fit our life. It doesn't fit what we want. Have you ever noticed that the news basically anymore is just a bunch of opinion? I love these questions that these news media ask, and it takes them 5 or 10 minutes to give a dissertation, and then not even a question in it. They're just filling air with a bunch of their own hot air. It is amazing to me that if a leader is doing righteously, how they portray him as being the son of Satan. And they lie about it in order to make it fit their narrative. And by the way, whether they got a D after their name or an R after their name, one group's just flat out in love with Satan, and the other group, they just compromising and waffling and have no backbone. I still can't believe there's a fight going on in Congress over whether a person ought to show an ID when they have to vote. That ought not even be a problem. But you have to understand that the world system is diametrically opposed to what God wants. Yes! I know you're going to have a hard time understanding this, but yes, elections are corrupt. And they have been since the very first election in the history of mankind. I still haven't figured out why we have 7 million voters a little over 7 million voters in the state of Michigan, but they can count 8 million votes. I haven't figured that one out yet. There's corruption everywhere, and that's the way the world works. If I'm hungry for spaghetti, but the doctor says, no, you shouldn't do that, that simple carb's going to mess your body, I want my spaghetti. And Miss Jamie says, no, Dave, I've got chicken made for, I want spaghetti. And I'll do everything in a conniving way, in a manipulative way, to make sure I get spaghetti on my plate. When I know I don't, probably shouldn't eat it. Now, I eat spaghetti a couple times a year. Got to have a few pieces of cake once in a while, amen. And a Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie, just so I stay straight. But our system, our flesh, wants it opposite of what God wants. He mentions there in verse number 9, if you look with me again, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. Lord Jesus is simply saying, this ain't happening. They're not, most masters don't thank their servants. But there is such a thing as doing what you're supposed to do. Now, we have to read the law to understand what is sin, correct? Whether it be in marriage, or whether it be in stealing or killing or covenant or coveting other people's things, we have to be told this. But most of us already know what we're to do and not do. Problem is, there's a rebellion in your heart and my heart that causes us to do the things that we shouldn't be doing. So this morning, I want us to look at this thought, do for the right reasons. He mentions in verse number 10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Beloved, I don't know if you understand this word duty or not, but duty is to do that which a person owes to another. When you show up for a job, you've been told to work. I get a kick out of everybody that I work around, and probably you work around, that just don't do what they're asked to do. And I used to tell those guys, because I was in a position of leadership, to where I could say, hey guys, my back is not hurting at the end of the shift. I am not carrying you today. It used to irritate my bosses. I'd put signs up in different places. Your mother says this, your mother doesn't work here, clean up after yourself. Anybody else like that? Matter of fact, I got pretty bold about it a few times. One of my main bosses, the plant manager, said to me, he said, you know, I've noticed that this over here is cleaner and this over here is neater and this over here is getting done better. I said, yeah, because I told them their mother doesn't work here. How many people do y'all know that work like that to where they don't care? That's a shame. By the way, I was taught clean as you go. Anybody else like that? Yeah. Clean as you go. Especially if you're building some spaghetti for the preacher or a meatloaf or a cake. I'm just putting my order in now. That's all I'm going to do. Miss Jamie's going to be gone for 6 days. She's leaving me. Yes, Miss Catherine, she's coming back. Do for the right reasons. This idea of duty here is an obedience and a submission. You shouldn't do right because the Bible tells you. You ought to do right because it's what God wants. What are you all doing for these reasons? Well, I'm doing this so that my name can be noticed. I'm doing this so that people will think I'm a great guy. By the way, moms and dads, if you're parenting with the idea of trying to make your kids think that you're a great person, you're a fool. You don't enable. And no is probably the best answer to a bunch of their questions. No, you're not doing that. When you get out of the house, you help yourself. This is my home. These are my rules. And like Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this act of this duty in verse number 10 is an act of reverence or respect. Yesterday, Jamie was vacuuming around the house and my friend Chris was over. We're working on the golf cart. And I try to, you're going to think I'm some super husband. I know you are, which I am. I mean, that's just the truth. But I try to have the laundry and the dishes. Now, the dog hair, he just sheds all the time, so I do the best I can with that. And then there's some days I just throw up my hands and say, all right, just shed all over the place. Got hair here and hair there. The other day, Jamie picked something off my shirt, and there was dog hair on that. I said, oh, thank you, honey. There ought to be in our doing, in our service, there ought to be a reverence and respect, not just for God, but for each other. How many times I walk into a building and people just shut the door in your face? Boy, yesterday we had a couple times where people were, can I hold the door for you? Can I hold the door for you? We were at a graduation Friday night. Stuart Byrne graduated, and this one gentleman held the door for Jamie and I. And I said, sir, if you want to go on ahead, I got three young men that'll hold that door again for you. What was unusual is we all are willing to hold the door open. And he seemed kind of clueless. What? Y'all like to hold the door open? Well, it's to serve not only God, but to serve one another. The Lord says, hey, how many of y'all are going to have your servants work all day long and then you're going to have them come in and you're going to serve them and feed them? He says, I trow not. I know you're not going to do it that way. Well, how are we going to do it? You're going to let your servant come in and then you're going to say, hey, feed me now. I tell you, young people, if you got that kind of attitude, you deserve a smack in the back of the head. Because when you were a baby, everybody listening, young folk, when you was a baby and couldn't take care of yourself, your mama and daddy took care of you. And you ought to do it out of a duty for them instead of making duty. And that's usually what happens. This idea of duty is also the business of a soldier. Don't you know that we're soldiers for Christ, Christian? Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Carry that two-edged sword. Have that shield of faith and that helmet of salvation and soldier on. Brother Mike Carson and I talk quite a bit each week, and that's something we're always talking about is you and I are always on mission. The day that you're off mission is the day you die or the day the Lord Jesus comes back. Well, this is the business of a soldier. And I added this to it. Or Marine on guard. Now, I love the Navy and I love the Army. I love the Coast Guard. You'd be surprised the many things that the Coast Guard has done in World War II and in Vietnam and Korea even today. I appreciate the Air Force. Or as so many wonderfully say, the chair force. But being a Marine's kid. That's a different animal altogether. Because a Marine's the tip of the spear. We ought to stand and understand, Christian, that our duty is to serve for the right reasons, do for the right reasons. If anything, to please God all the time. Our problem is, I've served Jamie. I've done this and I've done that. Okay, good. I'm done doing it. No, you're always doing. I don't know how you are, but we'll sit around the house there, and she's in her chair and I'm in my chair, and the dog's looking to see if I'm touching her. I'll reach across there and he'll start barking at me. I'll go to get up and say, honey, is there anything you need? Service never stops. Amen. Serving never stops. Our Lord and Savior is still serving us. You read this Bible, you find out that our advocate is in heaven's glory on the judgment seat. He's making reconciliation constantly for us. He's trying to bring us back to God. Now, He saved us and He reconciled us and He redeemed us once and for all. There's no doubt about that. But how many times through the day do I do something foolish? And my Lord still says, that's one of mine. This idea of duty is also the business of war. Or military service. You and I are in a constant battle. Constant battle with ourselves. Boy, I tell you what. Surgeries and maybe not eating right and not exercising and getting older. We have some having birthdays. Miss Jamie on Friday and my little sister's is today. She says she's a certain age, but I think she seems a little older, but that might be because of the feller she lives with. Constantly serving one another. Young people, I really want to get on you about this. When was the last time you served those that are serving you? I want it this way. I want it that way. I want to do this. I want to do that. When was the last time? Everybody listen to young people. And by the way, young people, anybody under the age of 25? When was the last time you said to those that are serving you, hey, what can I do for you? Now, I think that's why it's important to learn the idea of if you see a job, you do a job. Just go do it. My brothers and I, we talk about it quite often when we're home helping mom. You don't ask mom what needs to be done. Just go help her with what she's doing. And if she backhands you, just duck. She's gotten slower over the years. Most of us won't tell us what we need help with. Hey, I'm just as bad about it as you are. And I think one of the biggest problems is we don't feel like we're in control of what needs to be done or the situation. Did y'all know that your way is not the only way? The other day I gave a young man, I showed him how to turn on, how to get the motor going for the weed eater and how to put the line on and how to fuel it up. And this is two cycle. This isn't four cycle. Teaching him the difference. Got him up there. Taught him how to weed eat and do some different things. About a half hour later, he came to me and he's got this line in a mess. What did you do? Well, I'm sorry, Mr. David. I did this and this. All right, well, let's go back through it again. That young man, when we were done, he had gone over to the clubhouse and got both of us a bottle of water. I said, now, that's the greatest lesson you're going to learn today. What is it about us and not serving others? We want to be served. You know, around the house, if there was a chicken leg left, you didn't take the last one. If there was this piece left or that piece left, if you want it, you better be asking and making sure nobody else wants it. Not today. They'll take the last chicken leg and then some. There's very little service. We need to be doing for the right reasons. Well, what are the right reasons? Well, we already know this. Our Lord says, well, when was the last time, masters, you did this? I trow not. You're not even going to thank them because it is. And by the way, beloved, our Lord and Savior shows us His thanks for us just by the oxygen He gives us to breathe. We shouldn't be doing it for a thank you from the Lord Jesus. We ought to be doing it as a thank you to the Lord Jesus. this service. Number one, well, you already know this one. I don't even have to tell you this one. Matthew 22:37. Do because you love God. This morning we have the Lord's Supper before us, and we're to do that in remembrance of what He did. Not in remembrance of what we did, but what He did. This idea of doing it because you love God is the right reason to do anything. Why'd you do that for me? Because I love you. And the silliest thing you can do is say, and it's ridiculous, is to say, you didn't have to do that for me. I had a missionary, I did some work this week for him, and I did something, and I wanted to, don't steal my blessing when I do something for you. Well, they stole my blessing. I said, y'all did not have to do that. I told you, I took care of it. Just some people are so bullheaded. Anybody else in here like that? Get over yourself. Stop being so stinking bullheaded and let others do for you. And then in breath, you never know. You might have somebody down the road you can do something for. Looking for a chance to serve. Looking for a chance to do it because you love God and you love that person. I don't know about you, but I have somebody do something for me. And it's like, what do I? No, you know what? Thank you, Lord. Bless them. Bless them unmeasurably. Bless them 1,000-fold. Bless them 1,000,000-fold, God. And then just a couple days later, I'm able to do for somebody. That's the way it works in God's world. Y'all realize that? Not in the world's world. The world system, what are you going to do for me today? What are you going to do for me today? What did you do for me yesterday? What are you going to do for me tomorrow? Well, that's the way a wicked soul thinks. If you and I are saved with the Holy Spirit living in our life, that's not the way you should think. And when somebody does something for you, don't worry about money. Don't worry about this or that. Just say thank you. Thank you. Because out of the goodness of their heart, they wanted to do for you. That happened to me about six times this week. Y'all let people do. I don't know about you, but for me, if I'm doing for somebody, man, that's... Hallelujah, I got to do something for somebody today. Hey, Stuart's up there, and he was thanking Walker Taekwondo and Walker Bible Baptist and Pastor Garver. And when anybody says Pastor Garver, they're saying Walker, all of us. Because it ain't just me, it's all of us. Look, I don't run this church, Jesus Christ does. I can't, this thing is way too big for little old me to take care of. That's why you're here. That's why I've asked the young men, hey, keep my inventory on my paper plates. Keep inventory on our napkins. Keep inventory on water. Keep inventory on the salt. Keep inventory. Keep inventory. Keep inventory. Because I can't do it all. I have to be Karis Ashton's pastor. And believe me, that's a full-time job just in praying. And then you got to add Bency on it. And then when you're wore out and tired, you got to go pray for Margie. And then when you have nothing left, Catherine comes in the picture. It takes us all of us. And by the way, any church that's run thinking the pastor's got to do it all, he's an absolute moronic idiot. It's too big for us. By the way, do you know why it takes all of us to tell the gospel? Christians, it takes all of us to do the gospel, to teach the gospel, to preach the gospel, live the gospel, because the gospel is just that big that one person can't do it all. Stop trying to do it all in your service. Stop doing it for the wrong reasons. Do it for the right reasons. Do it because you love God. Boy, growing up, some of those old dear saints of God that would teach Sunday school. And of course, I thought they were old. I mean, super ancient, vintage Miss Margie. Some of my Sunday school teachers that were in their 50s. Oh, was that old. Some of them in their 70s. Some of them like Mr. Green that was 81 years old and I was about 10. Oh, to me, he was ancient. But to watch him serve. And to serve without being seen. To serve for all the right reasons. There's a fellow in my home church, David Brown. Talk about a servant. I love him to death. Every time we're home, I get a hug from him every now and then, he'll even slip in, here, take this will help you with gas going back. I remember when I was in high school, David didn't have a, he wasn't married then. He had a farm, and on Sunday afternoon, he said, bring your work clothes. We'll go jump in the tractor. On Sunday afternoon, we got to spread manure. To him, that was the greatest thing going on in his life. Because he was teaching me. He was serving me. Serve for the right reasons. In this idea that the Lord throws at him, he says, look, the world system's totally different than what God's system is. And let me say this, Christian, though, too. Our service should always be in worship and praise of the Lord Jesus. It should always be. Our service should always be in worship and praise of the Lord Jesus. We serve because we love Him. We serve because what He's done for us. We serve without a thank you. But let me say this. He does say thank you. Every time I get into the book of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, I see him hanging on a cross. I see him being beaten and bloodied. And I see him being triumphant over death and sin as he left that tomb empty. Don't you think our Master already shows thank you to us? He sure does. I tell you, He shows us thank you when we're in desperate need of Him and we go to Him. And what does He do? He puts His arms around us and loves on us. I don't know about you this week, but this week a couple times, Lord Jesus, I need a hug from you. Lord Jesus, would you sit here beside me? And He's already sitting down saying, David, why don't you just stop what you're doing and sit beside me a little bit? That's Psalm 91:1. Dwelling and abiding with Him. Our service should always be in worship and praise of the Lord Jesus, thanking Him for His sacrifice and His love for us. Beloved, we are living in a time of God's long-suffering. We're seeing terror and torture in our United States of America right now. In Dearborn, you cannot go within 10 and 12 blocks of the Muslim community and give the gospel. In the United States of America. In the United States of America, there are sections of our country that you cannot take the gospel into. The police will turn you around. They'll handcuff you. There are believers in the United States of America that are being beaten. In India, in Africa. You need to understand that that's going on. So we serve for the right reasons. Well, have you got proof of that? Well, I guarantee you're not going to hear it on ABC, CBS, NBC, or any of the other trash. Y'all remember the Inquirer, Inquiring Minds Want to Know, and some of the other smut material? Y'all remember that? Well, that's what our news media is. You're not going to hear the truth today. And that's the way the devil wants it. That's the world system. God's system is not that. And that's where you and I ought to serve Him for the right reasons. So I'm going to finish this morning. This is a short message. I know. What's wrong with him? Well, I can tell you what's right with me. I'm hoping today I can serve the Lord better than I did yesterday. Amen. I'm excited about that day when the Lord Jesus hollers out, come and dine. Come and dine! That's going to happen one day. It's in the future. Now when it is, I don't know. I just know that He told me that where He goes to prepare a place for me, He will come again and receive me unto Himself, that where He is, there I may be also. I know that. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Serve the Lord Jesus. How many times have you heard that from this pulpit? Just serve Him. Serve Him for the right reasons. Christian, it is our duty. Now, there's a whole lot of people that would argue with me on the word duty there. But I serve Him because I love Him. But I serve Him because He died and arose again for me. I owe Him. He doesn't owe me anything. So serve for the right reasons. Father, thank you for this message. I pray it's been a help to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand to our feet. If God's working in your heart this morning, there's an old-fashioned altar up here open. Old mourner's bench. That old mourner's bench, I saw the Lord save me. At that old mourner's bench, I saw the Lord call me. At that old mourner's bench, I've had the Lord forgive me. If God's dealing with your heart this morning, just come on. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we stand to our feet, please, if God's dealing with your heart at this invitation time, would you let Him? If no one comes in the next moment, we'll end the invitation. But if God's dealing with your heart this morning, let Him. Please let Him. He'll make a difference if you let Him. Just own up to it. Beg Him for help. Every one of us needs the help. No one comes in a moment, we'll end the invitation. If you'd look this way, have a seat if you would. This